Episode 347, February 19th, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Hello, everybody. Rob and Joe Show. Joe and I came back from Virginia Beach today.
Yeah, we got back like 2 hours ago.
President's Day traffic. Who knew?
It was crazy. I mean, I'm not going to talk about traffic all day, but it took us, trying to think, 6 hours to get back?
I didn't take us that long, but it felt like it. We were in two different cars. I rode, this is a bit of a comedy of errors. Joe and Katie and Justin drove one car ride. Well, I mean, obviously, Joe and Katie, you live together, and then Justin is close to you. And then Tommy and Eric and I and myself live sort of in a little bit different area. So we all drove. So I had texted Tommy and Eric. I said, hey, 10 a.m. my house Sunday. And they're like, Eric's like, that's good. I'll pick up Tommy. And then and first, I said, okay. So then, like 10:15, by the way, we're leaving super early, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. If we leave at 11, I'm not stressed about being late or anything. But at 10:15, I'd heard nothing. And then Tommy texts, you close? And Eric says, yeah, I'm getting the snow off my car. And I'm like, okay, so that you're still at your house? Which, it's fine, but it's just weird that
right.
If you're that late, you could just say something. So I could have slept. So I'm like, so you're still at your house? He goes, all right, I'm on the way 15, 20 minutes. So then he says, I'm here, but it really means he's at Tommy's. So I look out and go, oh, he's at Tommy's. And then like 20 minutes later, Tommy's 10 minutes away from me. 20 minutes later, Tommy calls and goes, hey, there's no really delicate way to ask this, but are we supposed to pick you up? I'm like, yes, like I set this up. They're down. They're past me. They're on their way to VA Beach. They're like, oh, okay. I'm like, what? Is this a joke on me? So they turn around and come back and get me. But it's just, what the fuck?
Well, that's the thing. We, you know, people are always trying to fucking play tricks on the other people in the cast.
Yes.
You guys are trying to pitch me fucking ridiculous murder mystery ideas and act like you like them. And yeah, and we told Tommy that, probably shouldn't say this. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull back, but I'll tell you, we told Tommy that Justin did something and that he didn't do. But anyway,
okay.
We've consistently do that. So when you read that, you're probably, I mean, when you hear that, you're probably like, well, they're just fucking with me. But they weren't. They had to fucking turn around to get you.
Yeah, I'm like, I thought this was, and Erica's even later, is like, why does Rob keep texting about when I'm getting there and stuff? Like, I thought that was weird. No, it's not weird. I set this up and you agreed to it and then you act like I'm not. It didn't matter. We got through plenty of time.
Eric's growing a mullet, Robbie. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah, it's 4 inches long, and it needs to be 8 inches long in order for him to be able to donate his hair.
So okay. He's doing it to donate, not for a joke?
Well, I'm probably a combination knowing him, but what's funny is that, like, the first 4 inches, it's hard. It gets harder and harder as time goes on to grow those last few inches. It might be a couple years in the making, this hair.
Yeah, that's going to be a rough 2 years.
When we picked, he plays Cameron Fry in the Back to the 80s show, and we picked out his dad there, and his dad also had a mullet.
On the car ride back, popularity of Black Panther, the success, Eric has pitched another superhero-related murder mystery for us, called Malcolm X-Men. So I rejected it, but we'll go back to the drawing board on that one. But welcome to the show. Myself, Joe, and Robbie. No Marcus tonight. He told us why, and I forget. It's all good. But it's good to be back. Great show down in VA Beach. Thank you, Virginia Beach. We love you down there. Good show Wednesday night at McGoobie's for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I had one little slip up at the end after I read all the names of the teams that got it right.
Right.
What we usually do is have somebody from the audience who we've had some interaction with earlier in the show come up and draw the winner.
Yeah.
And then we hilariously put him in, you know, whatever Eric's wearing, his tutu or his singlet or whatever.
Against his sweaty body.
Against his sweaty body. And they reach in there. By the way, every time but one, they've reached in there.
Yeah, they usually pretty much just do it.
They always reach in there. And I said, don't grab anything wet. But anyway, at McGoobie's, Justin was explaining to one of the ladies in the audience what a Dutch oven was.
Classic murder mystery moment.
So I picked her. She's sitting in the front row. I said, hey, would you like to come up and draw the names? Of course, she had a walker. And I said, all right, well, let me lean over here and fan them out like a deck of cards. And I still let her pick.
There was also a little person in the audience, and for some reason, this has never happened before, Justin went on a rant about midgets.
Yes, but I watched her, and she was laughing her ass off, so
yeah.
I was happy. She also had lobster hands.
Yeah, she's got a lot going on.
She had a lot going on. It's really unfair to both be a midget and have lobster hands. But
I say go for it at that point. Just keep adding things.
She had a boyfriend.
Yeah, she did.
There's some people out there that are full-sized with regular hands that don't have a boyfriend. Yeah, killing it.
She had a great sense of humor. She asked about future shows. She's a perfect audience member, as a matter of fact.
Yes, we prefer our audience members to not have all their fingers.
Yes, so think about that when you come to our next show. So Tommy and Eric, we've been talking about their mutual love to sing Weird Al Yankovic songs.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we went to karaoke right after the show last night, and they sang Yoda.
Yoda
the guy had.
That's the parody of the... Did they look at his book to see all the Weird Al songs he had?
They had one, Yoda.
That was at Yoda.
Yeah, which is a good one.
Yeah. Is that his most famous?
No, it's probably one of the Michael Jackson ones, right?
Or Hey Ricky?
Or like a surgeon.
What do you think, Robbie?
I think it's probably Eat It.
It's one of the Michael Jackson ones to Eat It, I think.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you that. But this one is to the Kinks' Lola.
Yeah, no, it's a good song, and they sang it well. And you weren't there, but Tommy told me this last night in a drunken stupor, but he told you the story to you this morning.
This is crazy. Yeah, Robbie will be hearing this for the first time as well as our audience. But they're singing Yoda, and of course they're destroying.
Yes.
Right, what else is new? And afterwards, one of the waitresses comes up to Tommy and says, hey, you know, when I was a kid, my brother and my father used to sing that song, and I haven't talked to my brother in 15 years.
Oh.
So I actually videoed you guys doing that, and I texted it to him, and now we're talking again. Oh. That song,
yeah,
and those two reunited a broken family.
Yeah,
that's the power of not just music, but the music of Weird Al Yankovic.
And the...
Amish Paraguys, that's the name of their parody band, which I don't like. I don't like the name.
Justin came up with that name. He's very proud of that, and I think he should be, because I think it's a brilliant name. Amish Paradise is the parody of Gangster's Paradise,
okay,
the Coolio song.
It would make sense, because...
Which is also a...
Every time you see a tribute band, they're the name of one of the songs.
Yeah.
Right?
Usually, yeah.
But... in this case, it would make sense if they were, if the name of their band was Eat It or like I'm Fat.
Right.
That would make more sense because, I mean, you know, Tommy's not too heavy, but Eric is.
Yeah.
That would make more sense. But they're a pair of guys. So Justin said Amish pair of guys, but where's Amish come in? It makes no sense to have Amish in the name.
No,
I mean, you're expecting to see something you don't see. And when Weird Al Yankovic does the parody of Gangster's Paradise, he's dressed up like a Mennonite. He's dressed up like an Amish guy.
Okay. See, no. Weird Al Yankovic does parodies. Their band name is a parody of one of his parody songs. It's perfect. It makes perfect sense.
And I don't... Well, where's Amish? I mean, what people... You don't think anybody's going to get any preconceived idea when they see Amish in there?
Yeah, they're going to expect him to be...
Amish paragon.
No!
The beards and the black hats and the black suit.
If they're Weird Al people, they know that they're doing a parody of Amish Paradise.
False advertising.
Well, I don't feel as strongly about it as Robbie does.
Robbie would walk out.
What the hell's going on here?
They have electricity.
God, Robbie, he infuriates me. I mean, some of the things that Robbie has problems with, I haven't seen. So I can't say we'll give it a chance. Like Robbie's complaining about Daredevil, which Daredevil may suck. I have no idea. But he's upset because they showed the perspective of something from the eyes of Daredevil when Daredevil's blind.
Right.
Right. By the way, just a vantage point. It could be, you know, sometimes I'll watch movies and it's, you know, maybe they're just showing the ship, Robbie. No.
What makes it worse is they actually had a point of view shot from him early on to show you what the world looks like from his eyes. So they've already established a point of view shot from his perspective. And then they later have one that's perfectly normal.
Do you think it's on purpose or that's just a mistake?
I think the director just thought we need a point of view shot here and never thought about the fact that he's blind.
I think you're probably right.
Well, can you just be showing, you know, sometimes you see a movie and the audience sees something that nobody's seeing.
Yes. No. He's coming out of the water, coming over the edge of the pier, looking at what Punisher has just done, and you're seeing it from his point of view. It's very clear.
It can't be just what's there?
No.
Okay. So here's something I discovered. I immediately texted Rob. It's so funny. I was watching The Great Big Lebowski, which just gets better every time I watch it. It's so great. One thing I noticed, and this is not the point that I'm going to make, but you know, there's really an homage to the Eagles played at the beginning when they do that salsa merengue or whatever version of Hotel California. It's the opening of the movie, right?
Yes.
So that kind of makes me laugh a little bit because really, you get two Eagles songs in there, and Lebowski is not, he might be the hero, but he's also a loser. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's Robbie's anger of the movie because he doesn't like the Eagles.
Again, my disapproval of that movie has nothing to do with that. I don't like the fact that he rips on the Eagles. I don't sympathize with the character as much because he doesn't like the Eagles, but that's not why I don't like the movie. I just think it's overrated. I don't think it's that funny.
Okay, well, hold on. You're getting angry. But this is new. The originally when we talked, your problem was that you wasn't a likable person, and then one of the reasons you didn't like him, the only reason you mentioned, because he didn't like the Eagles. That, I was watching it, which is a great scene when he gets thrown out of the cab.
Yeah.
It's an hour and a half into the movie. Okay, you understand? So Robbie is watching the whole movie, and then an hour and 30 minutes, and he goes, wait, what? What just happened? And he's disgusted by it.
Listen, what if you I'm already see... not enjoying the movie at that point. You understand?
This is all
I don't understand, because I think you would stop watching it if you're not enjoying it that much. You seem like you would give up on something.
I'm not a quitter.
All right, if you go to see the Eagles with James Taylor, I think they're touring this summer.
Yeah.
And 90 minutes in, James Taylor says, "You know what? I don't really care for these songs." Do you now hate the previous 90 minutes?
Well, that would make no sense.
All right.
Well, we'll see.
We didn't really know he didn't like the Eagles until that moment, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We had no idea. We thought he was really selling the songs, giving it his all. Here's, Robbie, something that I think you'll appreciate. Actually, everyone will appreciate this because it speaks to our general view of Joe and how he interacts with audience members and people. So I'm texting everybody today about one of the managers at the club, the Funny Bone, Virginia Beach, said that they read a lot of the comment cards were super positive. They had a lot of good feedback.
Very good.
And then I said, actual quote, "We loved everyone on the show except for the guy that read the team names," referring to Joe.
Now, when you put actual quotes, I believed it. It was an actual quote.
Nobody questioned it. Everybody believed it immediately. As a matter of fact, Joe started guessing who he thinks said that. By the way, I made this up. This didn't happen.
So there was a lady there. And listen, when you are the person that's in the audience, there are when you're the person perusing the audience, there's going to be people you can't fucking stand. And there was this lady. Okay. So there was one lady who was up on stage. And by the way, Rob did something that annoyed me, but it wasn't his fault. He didn't know. So that's a little foreshadowing. But at her table was a lady who was dressed up. She was actually one of the people that was up there. She was kind of dressed a little bit like Madonna. She had like a pink satin shirt or jacket on. Yeah. But anyway, I gave her a role because she was dressed up. And this other lady at the table, she goes, I'd also like to play a role. I said, and she's just wearing denim. She just looked like a Canadian. She didn't look 80s at all, right? So I go, I'm sorry, ma'am. It's one per table. Which it's not.
I just made that
I just said that because I fucking didn't like her. She goes, well, I actually have acted. I go, okay, well, that's not important here, lady. She's, can you read? This is your friend. You know, I go, your friend can clearly give you her role if that's what she wants to do. Another lady at the table comes up and goes, hey, could you make an exception, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yes, come here, ma'am. And I gave her a role. Now, she does something that's a pet peeve of mine when people take the piece of plat thing out of the binder and fold it up. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But I hated her, okay? Well, then people who were dressed up, the best people, Katie, went and decided who was the best dressed and then gave Rob a list of these people. And then Rob said, hey, come on up to the stage if your name is called, right?
And we had the audience decide the best dress, so we gave them a gift card to the club.
Well, this lady was basically just wearing denim. She doesn't look 80s at all. She fucking walks right up on the stage. Oh. Now she's up there. And by the way, you can't move up on the stage.
It was claustrophobic.
The stage, Robbie, you think that the sound booth is small. The stage is unmanageable, right?
Yes.
So now I'm not exaggerating, there's 14 people up there.
Yeah, I know. It did not go well.
So people started moving off, and Rob goes, all right, well, I'm going to pick some finalists. And he picks the fucking lady in the denim. She's got the worst outfit on. And no. I go, I swear to God, if this fucking bitch wins this thing, I'm going to be so fucking pissed. So Rob put their hands over the head. She didn't. Nobody cheered for her dumb ass, right? So she didn't win. But the funny thing is, Rob's like, okay, if you weren't picked, go ahead and leave the stage. And nobody would leave.
I know.
Everybody was huddled up there. It's like, how can you be comfortable up there, right? So they stayed up there. But then I'm like, good, fuck that bitch, because I hated her. At the end, she goes, hey, I'm with the team that won the tickets. This bitch won tickets.
Oh, no.
I just sent her an email.
But then she wanted extra, right?
But yes, she goes, yeah, well, there were six people at our table. I go, yeah, well, it's for four.
By the way, their team name was Bob and the Three Bitches, which is four people.
Yeah. Yes. And by the way, it's not even a good name. I don't know how it got. I swear to God, if I knew it was hers, I would. Because there was a team named the Black Michael Jackson, which I thought was the funniest team name. I should have just given it to them, but I didn't. I did the thing because I wanted them to draw it out. And then they ended up winning. But she comes up and I go, lady. I already gave you a role when I already told you that you couldn't have, you then walked on stage when you weren't chosen for the contest. Now you want two extra tickets and it's just so fucking entitled. Just so entitled to get something you're not, by the way, you knew nothing as you walked in.
Right,
and now
all
of a sudden you're in the fucking show. You're winning free tickets to the next show. You're in the contest. I'm like, can you, cast member?
She must have had a great time, that lady.
I think she probably did. So when I text this to everybody, my lie, the joke wasn't, I didn't stretch it enough. The truth enough. It was believable.
Yes,
I should have said 19 people had comments about Joe or something negative.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, I go, I knew it was that denim lady. Which, by the way, if that ended up being real, I wouldn't have sent that out. I would have made her call the club to be like, hey, I think I won free tickets.
Right.
And it's so funny. I go, well, ma'am, just give me your email address. She goes, well, the club already has. I go, I don't work for this club. Oh, I couldn't stand her.
Like, you could just, even if they had it, what's your name? You should have to give me something so I can identify you.
You know, I probably said, you know what, I'll get it from the club then.
You should have said that.
Where are my tickets? I go, the club never gave me your email address.
But it would be like, in terms of people just not getting the joke, if I had said Robbie didn't return my email because I used a different font, you'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's something you do. Right. People could genuinely be upset with me. That's a legitimate thing. You know what else? It just made me think of it, this denim lady. She goes, the club has my email address. Well, so what? What am I supposed to do? Walk up to the club and go, hey, yeah. I need that lady's email address. Like, who the fuck is that?
They have facial recognition yeah. software. They just
oh, denim. Denim Jane. Yes, we have. Here you go.
Well, other than her, I guess it was a huge success.
Is that the smallest stage that we do a show on?
I can't think of anything even close. Well, no, no. Richmond, when we do the other small. Funny, yeah, when we do all yeah. the all the funny bones, that's the size of the stage.
Not all of them, but the two, the Richmond and in Virginia Beach, yeah. Richmond's even smaller, I think.
Yeah, maybe pick three people next time.
No, it didn't matter what we picked because people were just, by the way, there were other people up on the stage that weren't.
I couldn't get our cast off the stage. Nobody seemed to listen to me when I said to the cast, guys, can I have the stage? They just said yes and then stood there on the stage. They didn't leave. I'm like, okay.
And that's the thing. If you want Eric to do something, he's like a child.
Right.
If you want him to do something, you have to say the opposite.
Right.
Because he listened to the show when we said, well, yeah, you know, he's up on stage making comments when Justin is doing the reveal. Well, all that means is 100% he's going to be up there with yes. a microphone every single time. Like, nobody tells me what to do. Well, actually, we do. Here's the script. You're supposed to do what it says on there.
Well, he said something that I'd never heard this term, this insult. But he said to Justin, he called him a fuck chop. He said, shove it, fuck chop. And I'm like, what? Everybody laughed. I've never heard that term before, but I like it. Fuck chop.
He doesn't start using fuck chop.
Yeah.
Eric says something every show during the show back to the 80s, and it doesn't get a laugh, and I don't know why, because every single time I laugh, but yeah. he plays Cameron Fry, that's the character he plays, and his dad is one of the audience members, not his real-life dad, his real-life yes. dad is dead, rest in peace, but we have somebody playing Cameron Fry's father in the audience, and every time he says, where's your dad? And he goes over there, and Eric goes, hi, Pap. And it never gets a laugh. I have no idea why, because I laugh every time, but I'm not sure what delivery spot on, so yeah. I'm not figuring
it
out.
Keep doing it. If you want to see Back to the 80s, here locally, we will be doing it May 4th at AMP in Bethesda, Rockville area.
Can't wait.
Yeah, dielaughingproductions.com.
Nice big stage there.
Big stage, beautiful venue. It's an A-plus location. Rob and Joe should be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for
going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Returning for one night only, Friday, March 16th at Jam and Java in Vienna. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So, I'd forgotten, this is a little story from Africa. So, you know, Patrick Melton, he has in his backpack, he has all these, he has a video camera, all sorts of camera equipment, and We're now in Djibouti. We're off the plane. We've got our visa. We're good. But still, to get out, there's another security thing to go through. And so he puts it through the thing and then the conveyor and the guy stops him and he's like, "What is this?" And he's trying to explain camera. And he goes, "I'm a video. We're performers." And he's not understanding. And he keeps saying camera. He goes, "Oh, you CNN?" So he thinks Patrick is Anderson Cooper. So.
Did he say yes?
We said sort of yes. If that'll get us through, yes, we're from CNN.
So when you go through security, they ask you, and they don't speak your language, but they ask you what the stuff is, and you have to kind of just charade what it is?
Yes. Yeah. Top notch. Speaking of Africa, you saw Black Panther.
I did.
Is it a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes? Well, is it that great?
I've spoken about this, specifically J.L. Covan, friend of the show. He sees all the movies. Yes. So do I, by the way. I see all the movies. He sees all the movies, and I listen to him. But one thing that we kind of differ, that rating doesn't mean it's a 5-star movie. It doesn't mean that.
Right.
It means that most of the critics that saw it, the wide majority of the critics that saw it, liked it. Mm-hmm. Okay, they could give it 3 out of 5 stars. I remember one year Star Trek was the highest reviewed movie. Well, that just means, you know, I mean, is Star Trek better than Pulp Fiction? It's not, you know. But if somebody says, "Oh, it's good," that means it gets a fresh tomato. It's a 1-0. That's how it's graded. So, Black Panther is fine. It's not outstanding,
right?
But it's good. I'll tell you what, I liked Wonder Woman a lot more than I liked Black Panther. Not the action. The action was better in Black Panther, but it was, I mean, obviously it was trying to make a statement. It worked. You know, I enjoyed it. I didn't, you know, I mean, I wasn't blown away. When I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I thought it was a better movie.
Two or the first one?
Both.
I like the first one a lot better than the second one. But on Metascore, on IMDb, the Metacritic thing where the people give it a 1 to 10, it's got an 88.
It's pretty high.
It's pretty high. So I think JL gave it an A-, that's closer to a B+.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair thing to say.
Yeah, and I think he didn't like Wonder Woman. I think you liked it a lot better.
Well, it wasn't that.
He thought it was a B, I think.
That's what we were talking about with Wonder Woman. And I like Wonder Woman better than Black Panther, but that's not the point that I'm trying to make. One of the things that he was outraged by was the score that it got on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
And the same thing I said to him then, I said, they're not saying it's a great film. They're not. They're saying they liked it, which so did he. He liked it too. So by the same score that he is being critical of, he gave it the 1 instead of the 0. Yes. Every single time it gets a 1... that's a fresh tomato. And if 8 critics like it and 2 don't, it get hit as an 80. That's the way it works. So, you know, I mean, it's, look, I love Rotten Tomatoes. I love it. And the reason is that it is completely unbiased. It's not one person saying, "I love this movie and here's why." It's, "I liked it. I liked it. I liked it.
It's
I didn't
pass,
like
fail.
It." Yeah. And you get to see, all right. And you know what? For the most part, I mean, the wide majority of the most part, they get it right. If I go against it, I'm usually let down.
Yeah. Well, the thing with, Tawana and I will probably see it hopefully this week. I definitely
Movie
want,
Pass?
Yeah, Movie Pass.
Have you seen one movie on Movie Pass yet?
Not yet. Nope. Nope.
I just looked. I think I've seen 7 movies on Movie Pass.
Well,
does Movie Pass work in Djibouti?
I didn't try it. But the thing is, with all the hype about Black Panther, it's... And I noticed because JL's been having a good time, you know, what you would call trolling. But he's really, it's not so much trolling. He's actually, he takes offense to somebody saying that it's better than The Dark Knight, which he
deems. It's not.
Right. Which I can't speak. I haven't seen it. But it's interesting to see the reaction of people that get upset at that. But that kind of proves his point. If it's so personal to you, that you're upset that it's not considered better than The Dark Knight, then that your personal desire for it to be so good will then obviously affect how good you think the movie is.
You're not being objective.
Right.
You can't be objective because you're vested in it.
Yes.
And nobody's vested in The Dark Knight.
Correct.
Listen, this movie's important because it's a black superhero, and I don't think that we've had one other than I know we had in the Avengers, the Falcon or whatever his name is.
Right.
But this guy's carrying his own movie. So it is important. It is. And then it ended up being a really good movie. So all that is important. It doesn't have to be better than The Dark Knight for it to still be important. By the way, it's setting like box office records.
Yes.
I went to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, people are, the only reason that the numbers might be a little bit down is because, honestly, because of Movie Pass. Because you lose $2 a ticket every single time.
It's breaking record. But it's like, why, if it is super important to you, which is fine, How can you be upset if it's an A minus from J.L. Covan? I mean, what more do you want? Did you want it to be great? Well, it was. Did you want it to do well box office? Well, it's breaking records. Did you want to hire A-list actors and directors? You got all that.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk of a sequel? It's like, how...
Forrest Whitaker.
How much you do you have to have happen for you to be up happy and satisfied? I mean, it has to be the greatest movie of all time.
Well,
or suddenly JL's the Samuel Jackson and Django because he doesn't think it's The Dark Knight.
Well, it is funny that you know, at least you got to respect JL's opinion because he's sometimes on one side, sometimes he's on the other, which means good. He's not. Yes. There's no agenda, so I respect that. But, you know, that lends itself to you saying, well, this score, are people afraid to say what they think because they will appear a certain way? Do you think there's anybody that was on the fence about this movie that was scared to say, I didn't really like it?
Well, I don't know because I haven't seen it. Like for the Ghostbusters movie, the female Ghostbusters, which isn't any good, and I remember JL actually saying this on The Righteous Prick, his podcast, check it out, that you would read the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes that are basically saying the movie sucks, but they still give it a positive because
they have to.
If you actually just read it and you don't even think about it.
They're like, this is shit.
Right. So they wanted to say, because they wanted this whole important thing. You know, I don't really get, I understand Black Superhero. That's not really a thing that you kids didn't grow up seeing. But I don't get when females talk about like Wonder Woman and female empowerment. Like, I don't know. Every sitcom I've ever seen, it's the husband's the idiot and the woman is the smart, reasonable one who has her shit together. Like, didn't watch every horror movie? It's the girl saving everybody. And
she's
surviving.
Always the last one standing. Exactly. Yes. You ever watch All in the Family? You ever watch The Jeffersons? I mean, yes, right down the line. Right. The man is the boo. Yes. Homer Simpson. I mean, it doesn't matter what era.
Look at the aliens. Sigourney Weaver, badass. Second badass, Vatkes. Third badass, the fucking little girl that survived on that planet. And the other badass, and Tommy mentioned this, the actual alien, which is a female, okay?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Linda Hamilton in Terminator.
And by the way, I don't ever look at that and go, wow, that's a strong female. It doesn't even occur to me. You know, I'm going to tell a story. Katie did some volunteer work, okay? And she was playing games with these kids who, because they got out of school early because the President's Day weekend, they needed people to volunteer to oversee all these games that these kids were playing.
Right.
And they were playing Monkey in the Middle.
Okay.
Okay, now, you're familiar with Monkey in the Middle?
I believe so.
It's a game, everybody from my generation knows that, Robbie knows that it's a game where you throw a ball back and forth and you try to keep it away from somebody. If they get it, the person that threw it is then in the middle.
Gotcha.
Somebody said, hey, you think that's appropriate to be playing that game? So it reminds me of...
Yes, I do.
It reminds me of when the HM, whatever, the magazine put the kid with said, you know, baddest monkey in the jungle or whatever.
Right.
And the first thing I think is, if you, and again, I know I can't speak. I speak from a white man's perspective. So I'm interested in what I hear from the Black community. But isn't the first thing that I would think was, good, this person didn't see color. There's no way a guy is going to get fired. There's no way H&M is going to try to come across racist, meaning they didn't see color.
Right.
They saw a kid and they saw a shirt. You saw color. The person that took offense. Now, should somebody have been more responsible in editing? Yes, obviously. There's some issues there. But the person that took that picture, that person I know is not a bigot.
Yeah.
I know they're not. There's no Klansman that's working photography for H&M who's trying to get this message across by getting this picture in there. No, this guy did not see color. And because he didn't, I'm like, well, you know, we should not give a shit.
Right.
If we don't care about that, if you believe that somebody's maliciously doing that, well, then yes. But if you think that they're not, if you think they're not maliciously doing that, then this lends itself to us becoming a more racially sensitive society. It lends itself for us not to say, wait a minute, people are calling us this. No, we don't call you that because we don't identify that in any way. So that, Anyway, yes, that's.
And while we're at it, why does he got to be Black Panther? Why, you know, it's not white Superman.
Jesus, that, Robbie. Now we had a good conversation and then you threw that in there.
Rich Robbie. White Batman. I mean, come on.
Well, that's dumb. Robbie, it's a black. The term Black Panther has been around.
I think that Black Panther predates the group, the.
Yeah, the Black Panther superhero, Robbie, has been around.
No, I'm saying, why is he got to be labeled as black?
Oh, God. He's,
well, there's ask also, you know, there's a TV show, there's a TV show, Black Lightning. Same thing. It's a yeah. black superhero.
What I just said about the H&M catalog, I don't want to then be attached to this argument Robbie's making right now. Okay, I want to make sure that I'm distinguishing myself right. from that. Okay.
Well, usually when you put black in front of something, it makes it sound cooler.
Yeah, nobody's saying, oh, black. No.
Right.
Yeah, black. Everything with black at the beginning.
You want to go to the Black Bar? Was that sound? Was it like a hot high-end place?
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
So. Okay, so it's a selling point.
I think so. Okay. I mean,
it's not just labeling the superhero by the race.
Well, I mean, look, I made the tweet and I thought it should have got more love. Speaking, I always bring this up. You know, I said two guys named Ryan and Chad made the blackest movie of all time. I thought that should have done better, but Ryan Coogler, director Chadwick Boseman. Chadwick. You know, he played James Brown, Jackie Robinson, and Thurgood Marshall.
Yes.
And Black Panther.
And and I believe that we've been talking about JL. JL thinks he's the worst actor alive. Seriously, he hates his work.
Well, those three other movies, they don't think they're very good.
Yeah, I mean, of those three, what was the first one you said?
It was James Brown one.
I didn't see that.
Jackie Robinson and Thurgood Marshall.
I saw the Jackie Robinson one. It was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. Here's my thing is that there are movies that are basically, I like them, but they're formulaic. And Remember the Titans is the biggest movie for me that people love this movie. And I'm like, it's fine, but it's a greeting card. It's not a great film. It's you saying, what can we do to make sure everybody feels good? You know what? Here's a perfect example. I don't want to talk about films all, but I guess we're doing that now. The movie Lean On Me is considered to be this great movie. And by the way, I love Lean On Me. I love Lean On Me.
Yeah, it's fun.
But there's a movie called The Principal starring James Belushi, which is the same movie. It's just as good. It's the same movie.
Right.
It's the same movie. There's a bad school. He comes in. He's the principal. You know, one's a little more ridiculous than the other. And, you know, if you want to see a real movie about change, and I'd see Stand and Deliver. That's an excellent movie. But Lean On Me is fine. It's fun. I like it. But it's just this little, you know, it's like Taken. You know what I mean?
It's hey, Taken's a great movie.
Of course, it's right, because you just feel amazing. But nobody's like, that's the best film of all time. Nobody's saying that.
I bet you somebody has Taken as their favorite movie of all time.
Well, somebody might say Taken. Look, Robbie's favorite movie of all time is Back to the Future. I'll bet he doesn't believe it's the best film ever made. Right, so it's just resonated with him.
But I do truly believe that it is on paper, it's the single greatest script ever written.
No, it's a very, 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 very good movie. It's a great movie. It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Me and Tommy and Eric were talking, and the subject of somehow we got on phone calls and caller ID and, you know, how you remember back in the day you just had to answer and just, you know, hope it was somebody you wanted to talk to. And then we talked about, you know, screening calls. And I want you guys to think of your answer for this, too, and maybe we can even rank them. But who in Eric's life did he say he is most likely to answer the phone when he sees that it's from that person, including us, including his family? The person that he – that's one. That's most likely to answer when he sees that person is calling him.
Okay, I actually – first. Yeah, before you do, because I know the answer. Okay. You're the only one that doesn't know the answer. But when I heard that, this is going to tell you a little bit about me. I thought it might have been me. I'm not kidding. The reason I thought it might have been me is I had just called him at 10 o'clock at night on Friday because Katie and I were arguing about the parody song that we've heard a thousand times. One of the words we were arguing, is it Thrilla? Or she thought he said Gorilla twice.
Right.
And I said, no, it's a Carcel and Thrilla. And then we had to call him at 10 o'clock at night, pick me right up. Woodworth residence. And then.
You have an answer, Robbie?
It's not me, Robbie.
I'm going to say Jeremy.
No.
No, please.
No. I will say this. It is someone who has been on our show.
Chris Restivo.
That's right.
Yes.
Chris Restivo.
And I thought about it for a second, and I know why. Obviously, his wife is more important to him.
I would imagine most people are more important
right.
to him.
Right. I mean, everyone that we know. But if his wife calls, or even if you or I call, there's a chance that we're going to ask him to do something. Now, he's going to want to deliver and do that for us, but there's also a chance that he might just be lazy and not want to have to deal with anything. And if we ask him to do something when he doesn't want to, he's probably going to end up doing it or making an effort because, you know, he's a good guy and he likes us. But if Chris calls, he's never going to, he's going to feel no obligation
no
to
obligation
do anything.
No obligation at all.
Right. So he could say, come over, help me move it. He might even just say yes and not show up. But there's no downside. There's nothing he's going to say, hey, can you look up something, give me the answer? Because he'll just lie or not even care.
I roll with the best.
How often do you think Chris is calling him?
I bet. Well, Chris calls me on Facebook Messenger, and I never answer. But he called me the other day. I think he had some girl troubles. I never answer.
Oh, yeah. I heard he broke up with his girlfriend.
Yeah. Sorry,
please.
Chris.
Maybe we should call him and find out what happened.
So I'm guessing for us, obviously the women in our lives is our number one.
Huh. Who do I always pick up?
Hey, how's it going?
I mean, if I see you're calling, if I'm not in the middle of something, I'll usually pick up. I never don't pick you up unless I physically can or I don't see it.
Right. I always pick you up unless I can't talk or something. I mean, Robbie, I pretty much always answer when you call.
When Robbie calls?
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to pick up when Robbie calls, but usually it's... Robbie, can I say the thing about quality time? There's a podcast that Eric Woodworth has. Quality Time. And
I was looking forward to listening.
And we talked about Rocky IV. I really enjoy doing that.
Yeah, Joe went on. I listened to it today on the car right back. Eric's going to love this episode. A lot of Eric Woodworth mentions.
I do love the show. I prefer when they talk about a movie I've seen.
Of course.
But I really like the whole idea behind the show is they watch these movies and then they break them down.
Yes.
So I broke down Rocky IV. Robbie, did you email me or you called me, Robbie?
I sent you a text.
Sent me a text, said I couldn't get through it. I couldn't take Jeremy. He couldn't take Jeremy's comments, and as a result, he didn't listen to the episode that I was on.
Well, Jeremy does make awkward, off-the-wall, random comments that tend to, that can derail things.
I mean, completely derail.
Yes. But yeah. I enjoyed Joe shitting on that fact. That was entertaining.
Robbie said I didn't shit on him enough.
Yeah.
Robbie was mad that I didn't. Robbie, I said, because Jeremy made a comment very early. It said it reminded him of Ron Jeremy in the movie Orgasmo. Of course, I've never heard of Orgasmo. I have no frame of reference. Neither does anybody else, right? So he kind of wedged it in there. But it happened, I think, in the first maybe 5 to 10 minutes of this show, which the show was about 90 minutes long. Yeah. And Robbie goes, that's when I bailed. I couldn't listen after that. A lot like the opposite of the Big Lebowski.
You said something about Rocky IV that shocked me to learn this, and it is hilarious. But if you know Rocky IV, you know there's the montage scenes are epic.
Amazing.
What do you think? Anyone wants to guess out there, and Robbie, feel free to as well. The distance, the length of time in between is it montage 1 and 2?
Yes, there's a montage where he goes driving.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because he gets in a fight with Adrian. Adrian literally says, you can't win, right?
Yeah, thanks.
Which is
kind of
funny because it's every movie she's upset that he's fighting.
Right.
It's like, this is a boxer's wife. He really didn't make a good decision. Anyway, so after she says you can't win, he goes and drives in his car. And then he comes back in the next montage. He's going to the Soviet Union.
What's the length of time in between montage 1 and 2?
3 minutes.
1 minute. 1 minute. He goes in the drive. He comes back. He's packing his car. He says goodbye to his kid and the robot. And Adrian is standing in the window. And then he gets on the plane 1 minute later. And then another song starts. What's your favorite song from Rocky III?
We were talking about Rocky IV.
Rocky IV, I mean, yeah.
It's I think it's the one with the second montage.
Burning Heart is my favorite.
Is that the one where he's in working out in Russia?
Yeah,
chopping
that's when
wood?
Yes, that's when he's chopping wood. Yeah, he That's Survivor, the same band that sang Eye of the Tiger, yes. Got Another Shot. But it's a song, it's about Rocky IV.
Yes.
If you listen to the words, it's about the movie, which is hilarious to me. But yeah, that's my favorite.
Well, it got me thinking, because, you know, the 80s murder mystery has done so well, and we've toyed with having, you know, like any 80s movie, a sequel back to the 80s too. And maybe there's some Rocky themes in there.
Rocky, and, you know, one thing I think we really leave out is Karate Kid.
Yes.
So if we could, because if we got to play the You're the Best song.
Yes.
I mean, that's really a quintessential 80s song. Do you know who sings that song, Robbie?
I do, of course. Joe Bean Esposito.
That's exactly
and
right.
And I was listening to Casey Kasem this weekend, and, you know, they play the reruns on the 70s channel, and he had to do a retraction because a letter was sent in by the parents of Joe Bean Esposito. He had mistakenly said that Donna Summer's boyfriend, another singer, sang the vocals with her on Heaven Knows, but it was actually Joe Bean Esposito, and the parents were very adamant about making that correction.
They were adamant, Joe. I'm just imagining Eric in one of those karate, white karate robes with a belt, and he's teaching. Okay, we'll talk about
that. He could be Miyagi, is what you're saying, Mr. Miyagi?
Yes. Oh, okay. Going to start brainstorming. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hello again. It's Gramps back again urging you to join Patreon. Recently, my son Joe revealed that an engagement ring purchase and a proposal are imminent for him. Rob is feeling more pressure than ever. Can you imagine what it will be like at home for Rob once Katie receives that ring? The scowls and the tension will be unbearable. Don't you want him to finally be able to get that ring and propose to? Hasn't that poor woman suffered long enough? Well, you can help. Become a Rob and Joe subscriber on Patreon. Not only will you receive all the great bonus shows and premium content that's causing such a buzz, but you'll also be giving to a good cause, Robin Tawanda's future. How else is he going to afford that ring? He can't even win that $25 prize at Comedy Kumite. And in case you were worried that I might stop hitting on Tawanda, you need not. Nothing can stop me. Engaged, married, those things never get in my way.
The Robin Joe Show.
So, Joe, I have in my notes something about a salt crystal.
Well, okay. So, my grandmother had, I thought she had one of these, if you Google salt crystals, it looks like this, like, almost transparent rock. It's usually pink or orange, and people put, like, a light bulb in it.
They hollow it out.
They hollow it out, put a light bulb in it, and they plug it in, and it's, like, decorative. It's this.
Okay.
I would have said tacky until I found out some information recently, so I saw one of these. I was at Home Goods with Katie. We were buying a sign. In fact, I'll show it to you when we leave. We hung it downstairs. Yes. So, or you call a sign, I don't know, piece of art on
decor.
The wall. Right, there you go. So I saw this thing, and I remember my grandmother having this, so I took a picture of it, and I sent it to Robbie. Robbie goes, what did you send me that salt crystal for? First of all, I have no fucking idea it's called a salt crystal, right? I go, because that's that fucking tacky thing Grandma had in her house. Robbie goes, no, I have them in my house. He has them. She had something else, quartz.
What she had was a large piece of pink quartz, which looks very similar to the salt crystal.
Why do you have salt crystals in your house, Robbie?
They're my girlfriend's. I have one. Oh, okay, we have one in the basement, and I have one actually in the studio. I'm looking right at it.
All this time when we're asking, what can we get your girlfriend for Christmas, when people would draw her names, you had this salt crystal thing just sitting out there as something that we could buy. It's not expensive, and you never...
If we got her a salt crystal, Robbie, would she like that?
Yes.
How many salt crystals will we have to buy until she said, okay, that's too many?
Yeah, how many 10? Years in a row?
We got room for two more, at least.
What if we gave her 5 consecutive years, we gave her salt crystals? Would she be
probably
happy?
Returning them to Home Goods.
Okay, what if it was 2 years in a row, but it was the exact same one?
She would be happy.
That reminds me, because James, not my son, but my friend and, you know, whatever. It's too long a story, but...
Lover.
He gave me a flat-brimmed Maryland Terrapins hat for Christmas.
Wait, I thought Katie's...
Well, she did that too recently, but at least in that case, I put that, and Katie's like, Mom, he can't, he's fucking 100 years old. He can't wear this. He looks ridiculous, right? So that was immediately rectified.
Yes.
But James gave me like, oh, thanks, man. I mean, what am I going to say? He's, you know, I love the guy. I can't, I can't, you know. Next year, same hat. Same color, same. So I have two flat brim Maryland Terrapin hats.
Now he also had you watch Power, but that didn't. Remember when that was the?
I remember.
Did you ever? You got out of that somehow, right?
Well, he asked me the next time he saw me. He goes, "Hey, do you keep watching Power?" And I was like, "Ah, no, I was too busy or whatever." And then he just stopped asking, which is good.
He got out of that. All right. What else is going on as we wrap this show up?
Do you want me to read that email that we got?
What email? I feel like I should know what you're talking about now. You're gonna get angry at me.
No, it's okay. It was from a guy named Kurt Walker.
Okay.
That one. What's it about?
Sounds like a race car driver. Does he read it, Rob? Is it handy?
Does Gramps need an intern? Hell, with his stories, I will pay him to be his intern. When Joe mentioned about getting older and Katie will, quote, have to wipe him, and when Robbie responded, she can start practicing now, I almost pissed myself laughing. More Robbie, please.
Oh, no wonder Robbie wanted it read.
Of course.
By the way, what's Gramps going to do with an intern? What's he going to do?
Of course, it's ridiculous.
You know what? I what's this guy's name? Kurt?
Kurt Walker.
Kurt Walker.
Shout out.
Great email. Great question. I think we should have Gramps interview for his personal assistant.
You know what she's going to end up looking like.
What? Well, no.
Send pics.
Is Gramps in chat right now?
Yeah, he's in chat.
What are some of the duties? The duties and the skills that he
characteristics
that he looks for.
What are you gonna want her? First of all, he can't say like Excel, Word. He doesn't know what those things are. So that's there's nothing from the Microsoft Office suite they're gonna need to be able to know how to do. It's gonna be like shorthand. It's gonna be like old school Mad Men.
No. He does. He needs somebody who can help him with his computer.
Oh, I see. He needs somebody who can do that because he can't. Yes. I got you. Okay. Of course, he's not typing. Just testament to the fact that...
Well, there is a 40-second delay, and if you put it on pause at any point, then it's longer.
All right,
he's just now hearing about Amish Paraguays and not understanding.
Yeah, what does Gramps do when he hears that? He doesn't know who Weird Al is.
No clue.
He doesn't know the song Gangster's Paradise. He doesn't know the song...
Which is from a Stevie Wonder song, yeah.
He doesn't know the song Amish Paradise.
Do you think he's heard of Weird Al? I think he's heard of Weird Al.
Well...
No.
I don't think that he has.
He's not typing anything.
Where would he have heard of him?
He says, I have someone to do that. That's not the question, Grams.
He always does that. He can't wrap his arms around the hypotheticals. He can't do it. I'm not sure.
A great bit, Grams. But.
But now it's another 40 seconds before we can get him to actually answer the question.
We really thought this through.
No, my dad has not heard of Weird Al Yankovic. Where would he have heard of him?
Because he's been around for 30 years.
But there is no avenue for my father unless they do, what is he saying?
Yeah, he doesn't know what any of that stuff is. He's just waiting to listen for something he does know.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
Do you think if we said the name of Weird Al songs, the names, that Scott Apple or Gramps would know what song he's parroting?
My dad will not. He won't know any of them.
No.
If we say to Scott Apple, like a surgeon.
Yeah, he'll know it.
Okay.
My dad might know, like a surgeon.
I don't think he would.
So, Dad, in chat, and actually answer, don't, you know, because then it's another 40 seconds when we demand an answer. Okay. So, do you know what song is being parodied in the song Like a Surgeon? Do you know? And then also, what is it? Eat It?
Yes, Eat It.
I'm Fat. Hey, Ricky.
Another one rides the bus.
Yeah, what about that one? Another one rides the bus. We had Amish Paradise. Hey, Yoda, he's not going to know that.
No.
Even though I said it earlier in the show.
He says he's heard of the name Weird Al, but he doesn't know anything.
Yeah, from earlier in the show.
I love Rocky Road.
Yes, do you know that one? Hey, you know, I just found out that Joan Jett did not... That was a cover. Did you guys know that?
No.
Yes.
I just found that out. Oh, I swear, I just saw I lost on Jeopardy, but it's Jim Amato. I thought Gramps was like, oh, my God. Gramps loves the Greg Ken band.
So he doesn't know like a surgeon.
Well, I don't know what he's doing right now. He's on a 40-second delay, but he can type. Nope, we get nothing from him.
No, it's like a virgin, Madonna.
You know, my father, when we were kids, my father used to work all day, and then he'd come home, and he'd sit in his chair, and he'd keep working. I'll bet he worked. How many hours a day do you think Gramps worked, Robbie, during a week? You think he worked 60 hours?
Even more probably back then.
He used to give my brother and I 5 cents a piece to stuff envelopes. Do you remember that, Robbie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, 20 envelopes is a buck.
It's not bad.
Back in the 70s or whenever I did it.
Robbie, are you watching the Bachelor? I mean, obviously you are, right?
I am, and of course, my girlfriend's 5 episodes behind because she was in Taiwan.
She's looking at the salt crystals all day.
But I have been enjoying it immensely. This guy's a big dud, but he has the hottest girls in the whole history of The Bachelor.
What's what's this guy's claim to fame?
He's Ari Leyendyke's son, Indy car driver. It's Ari Leyendyke Jr.
Those IndyCar drivers are super rich, right? If you're good.
This guy's not a successful racer. He's a real estate agent now.
Yeah, but if his dad has $100 million, right?
Yeah, his dad's super successful.
Yeah.
I did something that I've never done before, Robbie. I am now following one of the girls on the show on Instagram.
Okay, which one?
Just to look at her body?
Well, why don't you try to guess? I mean,
in my opinion, the hottest one is Jacqueline. She just left last week.
Okay.
Well, Rob has a certain bend.
Yes. You know my bend. Gotta,
I can't remember her name. It was the one that's still on there, I guess.
No, she just got kicked off. CN.
Oh, CN, yes. She was very attractive, yes.
Yes, go ahead. Scroll down.
Take a look here.
SEINNE, I believe.
No, this chick is super hot.
Yes, she's very...
She didn't make hometown.
No, unless maybe I'm ahead of you, and maybe... Did I spoil something for you?
The only one I haven't seen is the one that's coming on tonight.
Okay.
It's on right now, actually. Yeah.
All right. You're not watching it as we speak?
No.
So.
You know, every once in a while, Katie will show me something on Instagram, and I don't have Instagram, so I always try to blow it up.
Right.
And every time I do, I guess I like it. And she gets furious with me because she'll be looking at some girl she hates picture from 20 years or, old, and I'm liking it. So basically, it looks like Katie liked a 5-year-old picture of this girl. And she does not like that happening.
Whoops.
I've only done it like 4 times.
Yeah, I believe you. Yeah. Well, good show, guys. We finally have a break in our murder mystery. I feel like, obviously going overseas, and then you had one where you were gone, then we came back, and we had, three or four. We have a month off now.
Yeah, and I'm gonna lobby. If you are listening to our show and you're near Vienna, Virginia, please buy tickets to Jam and Java. We're used to playing to packed houses.
Yeah.
We just played to 240 at Magoobie's. We were at about 170 in Virginia Beach. And Jam and Java, the sales look light. So if you're in Vienna, Virginia, come out and see us.
March.
Yeah, it's not a big house, and it's a fun place to see.
Yeah.
They got good food. It's March 16th. That's a Friday night, 7-8, something like that. It's Sing for Life, so you'll get to see probably the biggest laugh that we get in all our shows. This is One Moment by Eric Woodworth was in that show. It is definitely. The biggest single moment, I think it's safe to say that.
And if we sell out, Robbie has agreed to come and do the bad touch.
Yes, there's always that, too. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.